Good morning, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the Rural Survival Show with Tim and Lori Spencer. On this, a Saturday, the 10th day of February, in the year of our Lord, 2018. Wow, the year's going fast. What can I say? Anyway, today is going to be open lines, caller's choice. We'll talk about anything you want to. Okay, quick update on the news. Stock markets, the main thing leading the news. It finally closed above yesterday's low yesterday. I don't think this is going to amount to much. I personally think it's correction vice a crash. I think the crash is going to come a little bit later in the year. I could be wrong, but I'm not giving financial advice to anybody. Other thing going on this morning is apparently, let's see if I hope I get this right. The Iranians in Syria launched a drone into Israel. Israel responded by blowing up the facility the drone was launched from. In doing that, the Syrians shot down an Israeli F-16, and the Israelis retaliated by hitting a dozen Iranian and Syrian targets inside of Syria. I don't know how far this tit-for-tat thing's going to escalate, but it's just something to be aware of. I sure certainly wouldn't lose any sleep over it, here in the Western world, at least not yet. I guess the Olympics took off without a hitch yesterday. I didn't watch any of it myself. I don't think Lori did, but I don't know. I might watch some today. Anyway, what you were looking at today, Lori?
Oh, just, I was going to go ahead and mention the eight plants that everybody could plant outside around their garden and around their home to help.
All right, yeah, let's do that.
Keep mosquitoes away. Let's see. First one is lavender. It actually smells good, of course, to humans. But yeah. It deters mosquitoes, fleas, and flies, at least according to the old Farmer's Almanac. Let's see. You can also put the lavender flowers in a satchel and hang it, and it also keeps, of course, you know, your clothes smelling good and everything else.
Oh, yeah.
Two, let's see, garlic keeps mosquitoes away. So by planting garlic in your garden, or in a pot, you know, set it around your favorite outdoor area. Lemon palm. Smells a little bit like lemons and mint, but it deters mosquitoes. But it does attract good insects like butterflies and bees. So that's a good thing for your garden.
Yeah.
It also... For an effective repellent, you can crush a few leaves in your hand and rub the oil onto your skin. And that will deter the mosquitoes from biting you. Just make sure you don't get it in your eyes.
that makes sense. But, you know, that is so much better than, you know, people that have, they're really bothered by mosquitoes having to use those harsh chemicals and DEET and, you know, the insecticide stuff. You know, I would prefer, if I used a repellent, to use something like what you're describing.
Right. Well, also you need to keep in mind with the lemon palm, it's also a drought-resistant plant. So, you know, that comes in handy, too, if you're in an area where there hasn't been a whole lot of water. Let's see. Four, peppermint. Has a minty smell that's unpopular to creepy crawly families. That the creepy crawly families don't like, I should say, like ants, mosquitoes, and even better, mice stay clear of this minty smell. So, kind of, if you live on a farm like we do,
that
it kind of helps.
Peppermint, you said?
Yeah, peppermint.
Okay.
Now, every year, I buy marigold seeds or either the plants themselves, and I do put them in the garden. You always wondered why. Well, they also deter mosquitoes, but they also deter the Mexican bean beetles, the squash beetles, and the tomato hornworms. Stay away from this plant. Let's see. One study has shown that the oil from the flower can offer several hours of protection from mosquitoes.
Oh,
so,
wow.
Good thing to know. Six, rosemary. The scent of rosemary keeps mosquitoes, moths, and flies away. Basil. Now, this one can be planted in your garden or, again, in a pot. It will need lots of water, though, drainage, and, of course, sun. It doubles as a cooking herb plus mosquito repellent. So, two for the price of one. And the eighth one is a geranium. Believe it or not, geraniums keep mosquitoes away. This plant's, it's got a light lemon scent, similar to the citronella, and it thrives in warm weather, and it can be planted in a pot, you know, or in the ground, but it deters mosquitoes as well. So those are just eight of the plants, you know, that if you want to keep mosquitoes away this summer while you're sitting outside with friends or something, having a cookout or something around the areas where you're eating, keep away flies, mosquitoes, you know.
Yeah.
Those come in handy.
Okay, so I take it we're going to be planting bunches of marigolds in our garden, aren't we?
We always do.
Okay. That works.
Always do. But like I said, those are just a few. I was going to mention them last week, but our callers kept calling in, which is fine, with stuff that they wanted to talk about, and I didn't have a problem with that. So, like I said, comes in handy. Just little tidbits of information. Not only does it help your garden, but it also helps you and your guest. So that's a plus.
Yeah, it's a big plus. Absolutely. Lori, do you have any time to talk about companion planting a little bit? You know, your thing with the squash and the corn and all that?
Actually, I made a list of stuff, and I was looking it up. So if you'll go ahead and talk for a minute, I'll see if I can locate it real quick.
All right, sure. Well, ladies and gentlemen, what we're talking about is just general gardening stuff. You're welcome to call in 1-800-313-9443, 1-800-313-9443. And this is a good time since Lori's having to look up some stuff that she needs to find, basically. I'd like to invite everybody to visit ruralsurvival.info. That's ruralsurvival.info. On that website, which Lori and I operate, you will find literally hundreds of free downloads, 100-plus free articles, just all kinds of good stuff that will help you in your day-to-day life, you know, whether you actually live on a farm or not, or just have a backyard garden, you know, just all kinds of good stuff like that. So, you know, it's all free. Take a look at it. See what you think. We also have about 10 of our Survival Library flash drives in stock right now. We have them ready to go. If you want to find out what's on the index, and I'm not going to read off 1,570 titles on the air, but there's a complete index on the site. You just click on picture the red and black flash drive that's on the right-hand side of every page. And, you know, that'll take you to a page where you can click on the index. I think it's 52 or 53 pages of PDF file. And you can see everything that's on there. And they're reasonably priced at $59.95. So take a look, see what you think, folks. Also, one other thing that Lori and I have started looking at here recently is something called the 1776 token. Now, I could talk about this for an hour, but I'm not going to do it. But if you go to ruralsurvival.info on the main page, the home page, and pull down probably halfway down the page, you'll see a big ad. Click on that, read everything about it. It might be something you're interested in, it might not. But I do know you get 10 free tokens just for signing up for it. And these tokens right now can be used for dealing, buying stuff that various people have listed on the website. And in the very near future, the way I understand it, like about 3-4 weeks, it's going to be listed on the regular exchanges. And right now the price is set at 25 cents per token. Once it gets on the exchanges, though, the way I understand things, the market will set the value. So if you ever wanted to get in on the ground floor of an initial coin offering, that might be what you want to do. But take a look at it, decide for yourself. I'm not pushing it one way or the other, but I see benefits there. Okay. Laurie, you find your stuff yet?
Yep, I'm just waiting for it to load here on my tablet. You know, we've talked about companion planting. I did find on Pinnit that there is a site that has actually a free guide that you can download that tells you what plants will work with what plants, what complements each other's. Tells you what kind of flowers make good companions. Let's see. Like the Nasturtium, N-A-S-T-U-R-T-I-U-M. It's a flower. The flower attracts caterpillars, aphids, and white fly. Therefore, planting alongside around your vegetables, such as your lettuce, your cabbage, your beans, tomatoes.
Right.
It will protect them.
They need it instead of the vegetables, right?
Right, because they will actually lay their eggs on the leaves of this flower. And, of course, once the eggs hatch, they eat those leaves instead of your vegetable leaves.
That makes sense.
Let's see. Foxglove is a companion plant. Growth stimulating effect on all plants near it. It also is said to protect the garden from disease and strengthens tender plants.
Hmm. Wow.
You know, you have bee-friendly plants, which, like I said, include like marigolds, sunflowers, poppies, clover, the nasturtiums, the Queen Anne's lace, encinia, purple tansies. They help.
I think the Queen Anne's lace is edible, isn't it?
I believe so, but I'd have to double check, so don't quote me on it.
Okay.
The borage is another great companion for like strawberries. It attracts lots of bees for increased yields on your strawberries. And like I said, this is on Pinnit, and it's companion planting chart for vegetables and herbs. And it can be downloaded as a PDF, so you can have it right there at hand. So if you can print it out and then put whole pages in it to put it in a notebook to have it for references, that comes in handy.
All right. We'll add that to our free downloads today. Just remember where it's at.
Not a problem. Let's see. Basil improves the flavor of your tomatoes when planted alongside of them.
Oh.
You can plant dill and rosemary next to broccoli. Let's see. Great vegetable companions. Successful companion planting. Carrots and leeks together. Both are strong scent that drive away each other's pests. That works to their advantage there. Of course, garlic planted along your roses will help deter aphids. Asparagus, basil, carrots, celery, and parsley are ideal companion plants for tomatoes. Helps each other of course, to grow. Tomatoes also are compatible with chives and onions.
Let's see.
Sweet corn does well planted with potatoes, peas, beans, and squash. Like we said before, you've got your sister plants like your corn, your beans, and your squash. And what you do is you plant your corn, and then you plant your bean right next to the corn, and it can actually, the vine of the beans can actually go up the corn stalk.
Okay.
And you plant the squash on either side of that, and they actually will help feed each other the nutrients that those plants need.
Excellent.
Let's see. Like I said, this is an interesting guide because it also tells you that not everything grows well together, so you really need to check them. You have big benefits of companion planting vegetables and herbs. Shelter. Smaller plants are protected by larger ones from wind or too much sun. Support. Some vegetables can climb others, like I was just saying, the beans can crawl up the corn. Like pole beans planted next to corn, because the corn is the trellis. Okay. Beneficial insects. Let's see. I almost lost my place. Attracting beneficial insects, such as bees, help spread pollen, of course, and other helpful aphid numbers low. Soil improvements. Some vegetable plants improve soil conditions for other plants. Legumes, beans, and peas. Okay, they draw nitrogen from the atmosphere and add it to the soil around them. Decayed plants. There are plants that emit odor that aid in masking the odor of insects. So that the plants, Let's see. Vegetables, like I said, there's a whole chart. I could go down them. They list what's good to be planted with asparagus, beans, beets, broccoli, Brussels sprouts, cabbage, carrots, cauliflower, celery, chives, corn, cucumbers, dill, eggplant, leek, lettuce, marigolds, of course, onions, parsley, peas, potatoes, pumpkin, radishes, sage, spinach, squash, strawberries, of course, tomatoes, turnips, and zucchini. And this is a chart, and next to them you'll find all their companions that are good to plant with them or next to them. And it tells you the reason why you can plant them next to them, whether it will help with getting rid of beetles, keeping the beetles away from them or whatever, you know, those kind of things.
Right.
So, like I said, it's just a really good chart to have if you're not sure about what you should plant with certain vegetables. I found this to be a really helpful chart after looking at it. That's why I'm mentioning
there's
it
no today. Copyright on that chart, Lori. We'll try to get it up so people can download it during the break.
Here
in about 1 minute.
As far as I know, there's not. Like I said, it's on Pinnit, so, you know, it's there for anybody to download and to use. It, like I said, this one has a PDF file. It even says it's free to download, so I don't see a problem with it.
Okay.
I just thought that I'd mention that today because, like I said, it is very helpful. There's even, if you check in the Pinnit area for gardening, there's a lot of different topics in there. It will even give you charts on what plants you should be planting what time of year if you don't have a farmer's almanac to go by. So, and you have access to a computer, then, you know, like I said, you can get this information on there. I have found this site to be very helpful because people are posting things that they find on Pinnit, and trust me, I don't save everything that I go through and I look at, but there are some that I have saved even to my own page. So, like I said, it's just another reference for all of you that like to farm, you know, to use and go by if you'd like to try planting these helpful plants with other plants and those that will help keep your plants healthier, let's say, because it's going to keep them from either the bugs or, you know, add the nutrients to the soil that they need or give them the right amount of shade that they need, you know. So, like I said, overall, it's just a really good information to have.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Right. But want to remind our callers, if you'd like to call in, the number is 1-800-313-9443. Again, 1-800-313-9443. And you don't have to talk about what we're talking about right now, which is gardening. And, you know, if you'd like to discuss something else today, that's fine, too. Just give us a shout.
Oh, positively, yeah. Yeah, we'd love to hear from you folks. No question about that. And like I said, we'll talk about anything you want. It doesn't have to be anything related specifically what we're talking about. Anyway, ladies and gentlemen, this is our 20-minute break, and our break at 20 minutes. We'll be back in about 3 minutes, 800-313-9443.
For the past 14 years, it's been my privilege to host the National Intel Report on RBN, to offer a platform to interview exceptional guests, to provoke critical thought, and examine evidence, whether real, fake, or somewhere in between, and allow our audience to call in and participate with your input and questions, in order to help us all reach an educated decision and arrive at our own truth. Our world has changed. It's now been turned on its head. Real is now considered fake, and mainstream fake is now pushed as real, rather than any clear thinking, consensus, or rationale.
Those few remaining beacons of light, the ones still shining through the mainstream media lies, propaganda, and deception, are being viciously attacked at every level through attempts at censorship, threatening advertisers, jailing hosts, and even killing journalists brave enough to speak the truth to you. We are in a war for our very freedom and existence, and through these despicable acts, freedom haters, collectivists, and communitarians have shown they will stop at nothing to blot out these last few beacons of light. Truth is becoming increasingly more difficult to unmask, just as the term unmasking itself is spoken by those usually anonymous sources. They promote their lies, wishing to mask the truths by ignoring it, vilifying it, or conspiratorializing it into a black hole abyss.
Regrettably, RBN has reached the tipping point, and through internal audit and actuarial review, it has now been determined that the only life raft of survival to this network is to go the way of PBS, that being audience supported. Like a cornered animal, the left with veracity is pulling out all the stops with every effort to effectively blacken our beacon forever. Help us, folks. Help yourselves. Don't let our light stop shining. Our motto has always been, because you can handle the truth. It's time to review your budget, folks. If you want the truth to keep flowing through RBN, go to republicbroadcasting.org and become a regular monthly donor of 30, 40, 50, or 100 or more a month and ensure you keep the truth flowing.
Welcome back to Rural Survival here on RBN. And like the commercial you just heard said, if you can afford to donate to RBN, just go to republicbroadcasting.org and look for the link and donate what you can on a monthly basis to help keep the radio shows that are here on RBN on the air. And at the moment, we actually have a caller on the line. Rick, are you there?
Yes, good morning. Yes, good morning. How are you guys?
We're good.
Morning, buddy. Oh, good morning. Hey, I have with the state of affairs everywhere, market, very fascinating stuff. Of course, you have the never-ending specter of war. And spring coming, there are about a million things to talk about, and I will try to pare it down. There is
100,000.
What's that?
instead of a million, just the first 100,000?
Yeah, let's cut it. Precisely so. Yeah, let's try to make this a manageable number. There is a fascinating, I've been watching everyone, all my favorite market analysts opine regarding what is going on. Some of them are suggesting that this is a crash. Some very smart guys are suggesting that this is merely a correction. It's interesting that you have, you know, people, different people whose opinions you appreciate, and they're not agreeing. It's cool. There is something fascinating about the whole thing, and that is that no matter which one of these experts you listen to, they're all agreeing that even though $4 trillion just evaporated out of the market, they can't figure out where it went.
Exactly.
That is to say that, yeah, normally it would, let's say it comes out of the market and it goes into T-bills. They're going to maybe park it in cash for a while or something along those lines. And then when they think the sharks are gone and they want to get back in the water, they'll move it back out of T-bills or whatever they're in and back into the market. And so far, the money isn't showing up. Now that sum of money is normally you're pretty easy to find, but whether you're talking about Manorino or I'm trying to forget which other of my favorites, or Lynette Zhang, who is quickly becoming one of my favorites, nobody that got chart after chart after chart of T-bills. And even Bitcoin, I mean, a lot of people were thinking that that they were putting the money possibly into spot gold, spot silver, or maybe cryptos. They're all, the gold and silver are holding the spot price, but you see Bitcoin, for example, is 10,000 off its high, which was like, what, 6 weeks ago or a month ago?
About 6 weeks ago, I think.
19,000 down to under 8. That's not where the money went. So, you know, the question is, where did the money go? The only thing that's actually showing any signs of interesting sustainability, strength, whatever you want to call it, or accumulation, is physical.
Yeah, we got a break, buddy.
Yep, I'll be here.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we'll be back in 4 minutes. 800-313-9443. 800-313-9443.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Without the right accessories, any guy can be off the mark. Whether you've invested thousands in your arsenal or you own a single trusted firearm, a visit to AROutfitting.com is in order. It's one of the finest online selections of tactical optics and AR parts and add-ons, like EOTech, quick target acquisition with no peripheral loss. Browse the full range of Nikon scopes and binoculars. AROutfitting.com can illuminate your world with streamlight gun-mounted lights from keychain to large handhelds, up to 1,100 lumens. Find some stability with Battenfield tactical bipods. AirOutfitting.com has CMMG gun parts, barrels, assemblies, handguards, part kits, and more. Plus Magpul clips and magazines. I know I've got you excited, so take a breath. Head to AirOutfitting.com. The site's super easy to navigate and features a ton of technical info, including links to manuals. We also welcome vendor and manufacturer inquiries. Remember, if you don't see it, we can get it at AirOutfitting.com.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner.
owner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855-2-KEEP-IT-TODAY.
Do you or someone you know suffer from chest pain, blood pressure, cholesterol, or irregular heartbeat? Are you looking for a more natural solution to overcome these health challenges? You hear the ads all the time. If this stuff's so good, why doesn't my doctor prescribe it? That's easy. Doctors are not trained in natural medicine. Extendivite Heart Tonic does want you to be as healthy as you can be, and it really works. Take Extendivite for 6 months and your doctor will say, I don't know what you're doing, but don't stop. It's working for you. Get the dependability of Extendivite. Just see how you feel in 6 months. A 2 month supply of either capsules or liquid is only $69.95 plus shipping and handling. Call 1-877-928-8822. That's 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Okay, nurse, let's get this man to the ER, stat.
Right away, doctor.
We see this every day. Heart attack or angina pain due to blocked and clogged arteries. Chelation can remove obstructions or blockages from arteries and help avoid painful and expensive surgery. Now there's Angioprim. It's a liquid oral chelation product that you take with juice. You start to feel the results fast. Angioprim increases blood flow all over the body, and that means more energy and strength to take on the day with less aches and pains. 60 years of research has gone into chelation, and Angioprim is the result. A safe and easy way to unblock your veins and arteries from buildup that slow circulation.
Paging Dr. Jones, please report to the emergency room right away.
Log on now for a special radio offer from Angioprim. That's angioprim.com/radio. A-N-G-I-O-P-R-I-M. Angioprim.com/radio or call 877-882-7221. That's 877-882-7221.
Welcome back to Rural Survival, and we are speaking with Rick in Missouri at the moment. Go ahead, Rick.
Yeah, well, what I was going to say, there is a fascinating, this gal Lynette Zhang, well, what was I going to say? The money's for the moment missing, and the only thing showing any signs of accumulation, and it actually started last November, is physical gold. It's starting to show a pattern that is showing that a lot of people are accumulating that. And in this video, I'm going to recommend a video. It's about 40 minutes, but that's kind of a long one. But it is a Lynette Zhang. It's from the Reluctant Preppers, which, and these guys are pretty good. I like them. This Lynette Zhang video is called The Banks Are Getting Out First. If you don't want to spend 40 minutes looking at this, although I will say, normally I start watching these things and, you know, within 5 minutes, my eyes are rolling back in my head. This thing is really good from end to end, but from the 25-minute mark to the 35-minute mark, it is really fascinating, And if you watch that much, you'll probably go back and start at the beginning. It turns out a couple things. In there are a number of charts. The charts showing where the money ain't. That's interesting. Right. It also shows something else very, very fascinating, which I have never seen before. And that is there is a chart that they started keeping track of intra-bank lending, which is the money that one bank will lend to another. They started keeping track in 73, and it goes up and up and up and up till the crash of 08 or 07, and then it's been steadily coming down. And on January the 3rd, you know how charts, if you've ever looked at a chart, it looks like a series of sort of parallel lines basically heading in one direction and up or down. Right. Since 08, it's been coming down. Well, there's on January the 3rd of this year, there is one straight line going straight down, and the...
Really?
Rate? Yeah. Wait till you see this. This is, right now, the rate of intra-bank lending is almost extinct. There's almost zero. It is half of what it was in 1973, which is like, whatever their indicator is, 0.13.
Yeah.
It is just, it's not there. And you'd say, well, what difference does it make? Well, you don't necessarily lend, one bank won't lend money to another bank if they're pretty sure they're not going to get it back. So.
That's right.
It is a vote of no confidence. They're suggesting that they're not going to loan anybody any money because they're pretty sure they're not getting it. You know, there's not going to be any return. So the lending is out. So this raises all kinds of fascinating questions about whether or not, you know, this is a correction or this is a crash. It also kind of indicates, you know, why the YouTube video is named "The Banks Are Getting Out First." But what I've noticed is, and back toward the back end of this video are the questions and answers. The guy cherry picked some really cool questions, and out of all these questions that they picked out, very good ones, you'll see that what we have here is there are people inside the government or inside of central banks. They're paid, and all they do all day long is figure out how to close doors and windows so that you can't escape. And you may say, well, that sounds kind of paranoid. Well, okay, I agree. It does. But, you know, for example, they're talking about the viability of an alternative invisible currency, a fiat currency called cryptos, and how is it, in fact, any different than dollars? And would the banks, would the central banks actually ever allow it to coexist? Most people agree that they won't, or they can't. They can't or they won't.
Well, I think what the Fed is doing, from what I've been reading, Rick, is the Fed is planning on their own crypto.
Right. Yeah. Yeah, in one way or another, they will shut the other ones down, and you will be forced to use theirs. Okay,
that
so when I say they shut all the... Right, so when I suggest they basically shut all of the doors and windows on you, any time they can see what looks like a way out for you, they work and work and work until they figure out how to eliminate that door. And you may not be aware of the fact that they work so hard at it, but believe me, they do. And it's going to come to the point where you're going to say, well, you know, if I can't escape, they're also, for example, and this is another interesting example, it is also opined and not proven yet, but that they're planning on, let's say you've got precious metals. Well, you say, well, you know, I'll escape by cashing those in. Well, they've also discussed just placing a big fat tax when you go to convert those back into currency. Just go to your wholesalers, put a big old fat tax, and basically snatch it away from you that way. They're not going to necessarily come to your house. They'll simply wait for you to attempt to convert it, and then they'll deal with you then. So. You know, you're going to come to a point where you're suggesting, well, you know, what can I do? And as I mentioned last week, the just-in-time delivery system has in many ways created a hapless, useless group of human beings that, you know, basically they can't take care of themselves.
Well, you're right about
so
that.
What is fascinating, and I did not realize this about Lynette Zhang, is back in 2010, she became a market gardener. She started doing all these people. I keep, you know, asking everybody to look at their videos, whether it's Curtis Stone or John Martin Fortier or what's his name? Connor, it'll come to me in a minute. Connor Crickmore from Never Sink Farms. These guys are all fascinating people. What they all seem to have in common is they're all very bright people. Not that you can't be a stupid farmer, but these guys are, I think, it's smarter than average. They've all had other jobs. like in IT and other stuff like that, and they've moved over into what they would call a more sustainable, a better lifestyle. What she has become one of these market gardeners so that she can learn to create large amounts of food for her family, but her original goal, I think, was to create food for her family. I think it was 20 people, and now she's creating food that, well, yeah, but now she's, like she admits in the video, she has a hard time stopping there, and now she's up to like 100. So it's interesting. She's even converting her swimming pool into a floating aquaponics thing. This gal is serious as a second heart attack. It's a fascinating. Yeah. Well, I mean, I knew she was a financial whiz, but I did not realize. And she talks freely between the 25 and 35 minute mark about barterable stuff, which is another possibility for precious metals. If you can't turn them in without being, you know, penalized in some way, either financially or legally, you can possibly trade it. But, you know, that's another situation. But she talked really about, you know, other things that can be traded. She even understands that when combining beans and rice, you get all 7 amino acids. Fascinating video.
Yeah.
I know this stuff is abstruse and annoying subject matter, and I only look at it because I have to. It is far from the sort of thing that I like to think about. It's not fun. It's annoying. I certainly don't like the prospect of being cheated or threatened by central bankers, but if anybody remembers, our founding fathers said a central bank is more dangerous than a standing army in your country. And I think
correct. And I agree with that.
Yeah. Yeah. Dang. Well. Yeah. Time. You know. It's proven. She also makes some fascinating assertions about what gold should be worth. She said 25 ounces of gold should buy you a city block with all of its buildings. Fascinating stuff. Really. I highly recommend you guys take a look at that. I know it's 40 minutes. If nothing else, look at 25 minutes on. But it's called The Banks Are Getting Out First. Fascinating.
Banks are getting out first.
If you wouldn't mind, though, I want to talk for a moment about... Oh, you were going to say something. Go right ahead, please.
No, not at all. I was just repeating the title to myself. I don't forget it.
Oh, yeah. Well, what about compost tea? You know, something that I think is possibly a little bit easier to take on Saturday morning. I never stop doing research on this market gardening stuff, and what I have noticed is that all of these people that I talk about rely heavily on soil health, and most of these guys have gone to no-till. In other words, they may fork the ground, but they never flip it. And they might just aerate it a little bit, but they never flip it, and they're constantly top dressing. When I say constantly, I mean a couple times a year, top dressing with compost, and they're letting the worms essentially do everything else. I talked once about the difference between the Mittleiter gardening process, where you're basically adding everything to the soil yourself with primary chemicals like fertilizers, which is what the organics break down to. Bear in mind that plants cannot eat anything organic. You know, people say, oh, I throw banana peels. Well, I know you do, but it does take 6 months to 18 months for that to break down into what is in fertilizer, which is the components, the inorganics, like nitrogen, phosphates. So you can do it, but you have to understand there's a big time lag there that Mittleiter eliminates. So there's another way to handle this. Compost tea. Those microbial organisms that are in a more mature bed, where let's say you've been adding organic material for a while, like eggshells or your banana peels or you know whatever you got. Those it takes 18 months later. Now your garden bed is starting to mature. and you've got that microbial action going, which means now you're making your own fertilizer underground, which is what you want.
Right.
You can speed that up from 18 months to 3 months by, you know, just go on the internet, YouTube, compost tea, and you'll see that basically what they're doing is they're taking clean water. It's best to try to use rainwater because the chlorine basically messes up your stuff. And you say,
right.
Well, yeah, but I can bubble it off. You could bubble it off, but here in St. Louis, they're not using chlorine. They're using chloramines, and chloramines do not bubble off. Ann Morrison will tell you so because she tried bubbling off some of our local water and putting in her fish tank, and she wiped them out.
Right.
Chloramines don't bubble off. They don't bubble off. So if you can collect, 10 or 20 gallons of rainwater, which is obviously, what, distilled? Would you say that's distilled, I guess?
Yeah.
I guess.
Yeah, I would call it distilled. Yes, it is. It will have some particulate matter in it,
right.
It might be acid. But yeah, collecting 15 or 20 gallons of rainwater is no chore whatsoever. I couldn't think of anything easier.
Yeah, put a barrel under your gutter. You should be able to get that out of one decent rainfall. Then you put a couple of stockings, which will also have particulate matter in them, with full of compost and hang them in there, and then bubble that. If you can get like a fish bubbler, they don't cost anything. Those little things that bubble one, put that plastic line down in there on a rock, and let that bubble away for a couple days. You get this. It's a brew. It's a living brew you get, and you can put this even on the leaves of your plants. And there is a guy out there who has the number of blue ribbons this guy's got is ridiculous. It's 20 or 30 or 50. It's ridiculous for the plants he grows using compost tea. So. It's what you're doing is you're putting the living microbes right on the soil. So rather than waiting for them to eventually begin to grow, which takes a year, you're speeding this up. And so the same thing that you could, and this doesn't keep you from using mint lighter. You can still use mint lighter, because mint lighter won't kill any organisms. So, if you got a brand new bed this year, if you're putting in some brand new raised beds, They won't do a doggone thing without some mint lighter in them. Or, if you start now and start hitting with compost tea, you'll be good to go by June. But that's the thing. So look up compost tea. I think you're really going to enjoy it. It's cheap. Everybody can lay their hands on a bucket of compost somewhere. So look into that. I think you're going to have results with that, and you can put it on the leaves. You can do whatever you want. It's great, great stuff. With respect to something that, if you don't mind, I'd like to change.
I don't mind a bit, Rick.
Into kale. A couple weeks ago, a couple of guys called in regarding growing food in cold weather, which could turn out to be a problem. Hello, Carla. Which could turn out to be an issue, there is Connor Crickmore from Never Sink Farms has a wonderful video. He's growing Siberian or Russian kale year round in a greenhouse. I think it's unheated because I can see the edges are all tinged. There are basically two kinds of kale. One is a flat leaf that you would typically use in a salad, and the other is the stuff that you're probably thinking of. It's got the heavily crinkled edges. That's more of a thing for cooking. Yeah, I love it anyway. I mean, if I get the smaller leaves, I'll dice them up and eat them. I think they're great, but they're tougher. They're pretty chewy stuff, but they're so doggone good for you. It's become the sweetheart food of the millennials. Because it's so full of chlorophyll and minerals and everything, but you can grow it year round. The Russian kale, there's one called Western Front, which, if I'm not mistaken, the Western Front would be Russia. Am I right? Yeah, so that's what it is. So it's a Russian kale. This is kind of interesting to me. There's this guy named Peters who he's got a he sells seeds. He's got a he is something of a plant maker himself. He is a he has crossed, believe it or not, Chinese cabbage with the European kale, and he came up with Russian kale. But furthermore, and to make matters even funnier, I know, but he did it. He did it again. He's doing it open pollinated. In other words, he's taking the pollen physically and moving it from one plant to the next. When he had his Russian kale, he crossed it again with black mustard, and he, you come up with what's very popular and recognizable as red Russian kale, which is a product that can go, let's say, down to 10 degrees. And if you've got snow cover, it can go under that. But, you know, that's not, that would be more of a tongue-in-cheek situation. But, you know, you, I mean, you know, for example, well, what would you do with kale? Well, in the summertime, we make a lot of pesto around here with the basil. But, you know, don't overlook something as amazing as kale pesto. If you put that in a blender with some olive oil and some salt and pepper and some Parmesan cheese, you and then that goes over hot pasta, you've got yourself quite a situation there. And, I mean, hypothetically, depending on where you live, you could be growing kale all year long. So there are millions of things. You can have kale chips. Have you ever had those?
No, I haven't, you but just I'd love to try it. I love new things.
Yeah, you just lay your the guy next door makes them constantly. You just lay your kale out on baking sheets that are brushed with oil, sprinkle them with sea salt, and put them in real low with the door crack like you're doing jerky, and just wait for them to crisp up. They're it's like a big green potato chip. They are good. It really is. And not that, and the younger people, of course, like to put this stuff in all their smoothies. If you go to some of our avant-garde places around town, the smoothie places are all over the place, and they think nothing of charging you $5 or $10 for a glass of liquefied vegetables. You know, because obviously, where could you ever find vegetables? You know.
Hey Rick,
oh, by the way, if
do
you
me
want,
a favor.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hang on just a second. I want to bring Frances from North Carolina on in case she's got a gardening question or comment. And if you would stay on the line.
You want me to mute up?
No, stay on the line, Rick.
Oh, okay.
Okay? Yeah, stay on the line, buddy. Okay, Sam, can you bring Frances on from North Carolina on line one? Hello, Frances.
Hello?
Hi, Frances. This is Tim. You're live on the air. Didn't know what you wanted to talk about today, but in case it was a gardening question, we've brought you on while Rick is still on the line.
Oh, okay. Well, hello to you both, for one. And,
good morning.
You did what now?
You said good morning, Frances.
Indeed. There were several things I was wondering about when they're talking about companion gardening. And
okay.
So forth. And the question I'm wondering is, aside from another issue that I was wanting to touch upon, generally for some folks, they might consider the aspect of some of the companion gardening, such as flowers and so forth, with the companion gardening, maybe that some of the flowers can also be ones that are considered edible. Now, that being said, there are some that you cannot. So there's a question of determining or deciphering which ones that are good for companion gardening can also be used as edible as well in the process. I'll let you touch upon that before I go to the other point I wanted to touch upon.
All right. Lori and Rick, do you guys want to address this one? You're better at it than I am.
I do have one suggestion, Francis. There is one of my favorite places. Do you know Richter's out of Canada? They are Richter's, Richter's, I was going to bring this up today. They have more herb seeds. They have just about everything God ever made, including some fascinating hallucinogens. But they have their flower section, the cut flowers and all this. But they also, their catalog alone is a piece of research material. And they will tell you that, of course, there are things out, and you can Google edible flowers, and you'll find that things like nasturtiums and other things and borage are frequently used in salads. But some of them have wonderful herbal qualities, like the Queen Anne's lace, for example, you mentioned earlier, Laurie. I'm not sure that the flower is edible, but the root is called wild carrot, and it has been used by the Indians, for control of diabetes. And so some of these things are edible, but some of them are also highly medicinal. So Richter's.com, of course, they've got an online presence, but once you bought from them, they will start sending you the paper catalog, which is fun to look through.
Right. As far as the Queen Anne's lace go, unless I'm mistaken, mm-hmm. I think also the flower is also usable, but you have to make sure that you distinguish between it, the Queen Anne's lace, or wild carrot, as it's called, from water hemlock, which is very similar, but the flower's crown itself is different.
Well, you've got me there. That's something I've never heard.
Yes, this is something that goes way back, and now I'm telling on my age because of it, and I'm not going any further than that. Reason being is that with wild carrot, or Queen Anne's lace, as it's ordinarily called or known by, is because in the center of the bloom, there is a red spot as though it's like a red flower or whatever in the center. The legend, in short, is that it's called Queen Anne's lace because Queen Anne, when she's doing knitting her lace or whatever, she pricked her finger, and there was, as a result, a drop of blood in the middle of the lace. Hence the legend behind that, the name. So that was one denoting difference between the way the flowers are arranged in the flower crown. So that was
fascinating.
So don't ask me how I learned all that.
Well, you're gonna love that Richter's catalog, Ben. If you like that kind of thing, you'll love the catalog.
Oh boy! The other thing too is that, as much as I adore foxglove, yes, I wouldn't mind growing it, but I'd have to be careful not to as to what part I would use, other than in
right.
gardening. Aside from that, I'm not sure. I imagine some people are familiar with this aspect, that if they happen to use a trellis-type growing apparatus for, like, pole beans or string beans, sweet peas, or, I'll hang.
All right. Hey, Rick and Francis, hang on. We've got about a two-minute break. Ladies and gentlemen, call in number 800-313-9443.
Public Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.